Okay, good morning, colleagues. The Secretary General will make a statement and then we can take a few questions.
Good morning and thank you for joining us so early. Today, NATO defense ministers will meet and they will address a wide range of issues, ranging from the mission in Afghanistan to full spectrum deterrence, from fighting terrorism to cyber defense. Last month, NATO's heads of state and government took decisions to increase our role in the fight against terrorism and to improve burden sharing in our alliance. We are making progress on both. Since joining the global coalition to defeat ISIS in May, we have already increased the flight time for our AWACS surveillance aircraft supporting the coalition. And our senior civilian representative has taken up office in Baghdad. Here at the NATO headquarters, I have just appointed Rose Gottemuller, my Deputy Secretary General, to coordinate the alliance's efforts in the fight against terrorism. And within our intelligence division, a new terrorism intelligence cell is now operational. On burden sharing, I'm glad to say that we expect this will be the third third consecutive year of accelerating defense spending increases across European allies and Canada, with a 4.3% real increase in defense spending. This means that over the last 3 years, European allies and Canada spent almost $46 billion US dollar more on defense. So this is a significant increase, which means that we are moving in the right direction when it comes to burden sharing and defense spending. Today we will discuss not only cash, but also capabilities and contributions to NATO missions and operations. And I expect we will make advances here as well. We will meet with the EU High Representative over lunch, as well as with the ministers from Finland and Sweden. Together, we will make we will address many different issues, and we will take stock of the deepening ties between NATO and the European Union, particularly when it comes to cyber defense and the fight against terrorism. We will also discuss how we take our cooperation further in the future. We will also address our strengthened deterrence and defense posture, and we welcome the fact that we are making progress, both when it comes to our enhanced forward presence in the Baltic states and Poland, and we continue to strengthen our presence in the Black Sea region. We will end the day with a meeting of all nations contributing to our research support mission in Afghanistan. And we will discuss the future of NATO's presence in the country. Our military authorities have requested a few thousand more troops for the mission in Afghanistan. And today I can confirm that we will increase our presence in Afghanistan. 15 nations have already pledged additional contributions to the rescue support mission. And I look forward to further announcements from other nations. So we have a very full agenda for our meeting today, and with that I'm ready to take your questions.
Yes, please, gentlemen over here.
From Avan Media, Mr. Secretary General, what do you think sending more troops to Afghanistan will help Afghan security?
We have to put this into context and understand that this is about training, assisting and advising the Afghan forces. NATO has ended our combat operation in Afghanistan. So what we do now is not to conduct combat operations, but to help the Afghans fight and to help the Afghans take full responsibility for the security in their own country. We see a need for some more efforts, some more support from NATO to the Afghans, especially in three areas. In strengthening their special operation forces, we have seen that the special operation forces in Afghanistan has been very professional and very important in the fight against the Taliban, and we are now working on how we can further strengthen the special operation forces of the Afghan army. The second area where we want to do more is supporting the development of the Afghan air forces. Air forces are important both in the fight against terrorist groups and Taliban, but also for medevac, for supporting the armed forces on the ground. And the third area where we are stepping up our efforts are when it comes to leadership, education of officers, so we're also going to do more when it comes to the different military academies. Again, this is not about turning back into a combat mission, but it's about adjusting, strengthening the train, assist, and advise mission we have in Afghanistan, supporting and helping the Afghans.
Thank you. Robin from Reuters.
Also on Afghanistan, what do you need to know from Secretary Mattis? What would you like to hear from him today when you discuss Afghanistan? Thank you.
I don't expect any specific troop numbers, but I expect that we can exchange views, assess the situation in Afghanistan, and then look into how we together, all NATO allies, including the United States, of course, can strengthen and make sure that we have the sufficient number of troops in the NATO mission to continue to support the Afghans and to make sure that we are able to break the stalemate so we can make advances on the battlefield, which will then lay the ground for a political solution. Because it is a very close relationship with between what's going on the battlefield and the possibility of reaching a political negotiated solution. We welcome that President Ghani has taken the initiative to a political process, the Kabul process, because we all agree that in the long run, what we need, the only sustainable and lasting solution in Afghanistan is a political and negotiated solution. And then, of course, we look forward to the final decisions by the U.S. when it comes to the U.S. Troop contributions to our mission in Afghanistan.
We have time for one more question. Yes, please.
Mr. Stoltenberg, what could you say about the security situation in Baltic Sea? Are there any achievements in avoiding any accident with Russian and NATO planes there? Maybe usage there, some special technical devices to avoid it. Thank you.
What we see in the Baltic Sea is increased military activity, and we see it on land, at sea, and in the air. And that just underlines the importance of transparency, predictability, to prevent incidents and accidents, and if they happen, to make sure that they don't spiral out of control and create really dangerous situations. That's the reason why NATO underscores the importance of respecting different arrangements, for instance, what we call the Vienna document, which requires transparency, predictability, but also international observations of military exercises. We are transparent when it comes to our exercises, and we call on Russia to be transparent on their exercises. We are also focused on the issue of air safety. And first, I would like to underline that the vast majority of the intercepts in the Baltic Sea region or over the Baltic Sea are done in a professional and safe manner on both sides. So I think it's important not to mix intercepts, which is a normal procedure to identify unidentified planes, with dangerous situations. To intercept planes is a normal activity. Some are conducted in a not professional and sometimes dangerous way. And therefore, we are focused on how can we improve air safety over the Baltic region. We welcome the initiative taken by Finland to convene meetings and a group of experts, which encompasses Sweden, Finland, the Baltic states, NATO, and some other organizations and countries. So they are now sitting together, working on how we can develop better or improve the air safety over the Baltic region, which includes issues as the use of transponders, and also, of course, good airmanship, how to behave, how to make sure that when we have more military planes in the air, when we have more exercises, and when we have more intercepts, then it has to be done in a safe and a secure way. And that's exactly what this expert group is looking into. And I welcome the work of the group, and I look forward to the conclusions from the group.
Okay, thank you very much, colleagues. That's all we have time for now. Thank you.
Thank you.